Here we are back at it, talking about overcoming goals, overcoming obstacles to hit those goals. So this is a moment that I'm just tripping off that last conversation with Liz to just really garner what's going on inside the brain, what's going on in the heart, and then use that either for rehabilitation purposes to restore something that was out of whack, and then be able to see things with a new perspective, with a healthy perspective, and not be extreme in it, then go after what the journey is. Fitness journey, emotional and healing journey, just being equipped in order to really succeed in every single domain of life. So this is You Versus You podcast with your host, Dave Woods, talking about how to really stick to what your aim and ambition is, to come up with a strategy for it, and then to carry it out, rinse, wash, and repeat until you find yourself living that dream, living that goal, living that ambition. And yeah, it's really, I think there's really just two schools of thought, or maybe even two parties of reasoning, which would be those who talk about the things they want to do and those who are getting after what they've been talking about and not letting anything get in their way. And if something gets in the way, it's reassess, go back to the drawing board, come up with a new strategy, and then pursue it. One thing that is one key I would share today, there's going to be a couple of keys in this one, but it would be the attitude adjustment. And for me, it's immediately in the morning, those first thoughts. What are those first thoughts? And then to capture them and then adjust them if necessary. When I wake up, typically I'm not in the mood to be hearing anyone talk about anything. I don't want to be interrupted. I need to come to my senses and adjust from sleep, just go in the waking, and then grab hold of gratitude. So immediately I thank God for 10 things just out of the gate. So something simple as, oh, thank you for a good night's sleep. And if it's bad sleep, I still say thank you for a bad night's sleep, or I had troubling dreams. Instead of being fixated on not sleeping well or not getting enough sleep or having nightmares, it would be, Lord Jesus, thank you for allowing me to experience nightmares, because it makes me even more grateful for when I do have pleasant dreams, or if I wake up and I don't remember my dreams but it was a full night's sleep. Thank you for baby girl. Thank you for beautiful SoCal weather. Thank you for music. Thank you for being in one piece. Thank you for being able-bodied, and just so on and so forth. But I literally get down on my knees. Sometimes I'm not on my knees, but sometimes I roll out of bed onto my knees to be in that posture, to the posture of humility, of kneeling, because you're very vulnerable in that position. But then, so I can use my fingers to count the 10 things that I'm thankful for. And when I do that, I find that my grouchiness, my irritability when waking up is not there. And I wish I could lie to everyone listening and just, oh yeah, I wake up joyful and full of good humor and being pleasant to be around and being charismatic and, you know, being able to talk about this and that and really chop it up with whoever's talking to me. But that's not the case. It's actually more of what Liz was talking about. It was like, yo, don't even look at me. Don't even talk to me. Don't say anything. Don't interrupt me. Definitely don't wake me up. So the thing that is best, in my opinion, is to give gratitude immediately until you've decided to win the battle for the morning, and you already you hit the ground running because you're able to be social, able to hold a conversation without complaining or lamenting. And that's, oh man, I can't believe, I can't understand what I was doing before I came to that realization and self-awareness of just being thankful and full of gratitude. So the next thing from there is priming myself to do something unpleasant, and that has the benefit of the mental perseverance and vigilance it takes to carry out something that you don't want to do, but then to be able to do it with good humor is the reason for doing that. And for me, it's cold showers or drinking a ton of water in the morning, right? So it's not quite the same when it's a coffee, because the caffeine and just the effect of coffee just puts you in a higher gear, which is fine. But if my mind has not been primed, I'm not ready to just do that. So taking a cold shower is uncomfortable, especially first thing in the morning. But then the shock of cold water is like an espresso shot, maybe two. And that right there is the thing that is physically unpleasant, but you know it's just temporary because your body adjusts. And when your body adjusts, you know, heart rate goes up, the blood is flowing. I find myself ready to praise God and to listen to my favorite music or do some praise and worship, whatever it may be, but in another degree higher than when I first got out of bed and was coming up with 10 things that I'm thankful for. And when that happens, no matter what the day demands, whether it's a packed day or it's a day off or it's anywhere in between, that gets my objectives in order for saying, instead of saying, oh, here's a bunch of things that I need to handle today that I don't want to do, it's, hey, I'm starting to stack up these wins in small ways. I've adjusted my attitude with being attitude of gratitude by coming up with the 10 things. I've woken up completely because of this cold shower. But now, whatever the degree of difficulty that I experienced today, I will have been mentally set to take care of it because I already did some things before I even left my bedroom to conquer the day, to set it up, knock it down, not complain, and be pleasant, right? So these are just minor things that have huge dividends for taking care of 24 hours at a time. And just thinking back, not even long ago, right, when I was all stressed out and still podcasting, still doing personal assistance, still doing all the demands and obligations for baby girl, still going to the gym, still, you know, running the household and all that. It's almost night and day. And I just have to hang my hat on that again of saying it's vital. It's an often skipped step to success for being mentally prepared is just changing your mood and then preparing yourself, priming your mind to do difficult things. And from a perspective of saying, I'm still going to do those difficult things, but my attitude and my outlook on it is much different. And then it comes off more of, oh, you enjoy that thing. You enjoy doing the dishes. I don't enjoy doing the dishes, but having primed for it, oh, it's not even a thought. I'm not ruminating on how I wish I was doing something else or if I wish I could be somewhere else. I'm not coming up with 100 other distractions to not do the dishes and then saying, oh, well, I did a bunch of other stuff. No, that was just me being a busybody, but not working on the vital and the needed thing for the moment, for the hour, for the day. From there, I like to switch gears to go into laughter, right? And I mention this pretty frequently of just watching videos on YouTube or a comedian that I really dig, doing that intentionally in order to lift my spirits higher, right? And this is key when I'm in a bad mood, or if there's a thought that's repeating in my mind, or if I remember an injury from a couple of years ago, right? We'll just say from the past. It could be betrayal, treachery, a time I got done dirty, name them, right? We all have those thoughts that just seem to be cycling, right? When I notice that a thought is repeating and it seems to be out of nowhere, if I found something to laugh about and then I, you know, focus on that and then go back to being grateful, start naming 10 things I'm grateful, that's when I know that I can really have the keen scope on the brain in order to see the things that are trying to be distracting thoughts or to have me go into a bad mood, right? I think it was my man's Les Brown who had said, you have two employees that work in your brain and one that wants to get the things done in a positive, healthy, beneficial way, and then another foreman who works for you who wants to go down a darker road, one full of animosity, bitterness, resentment, grudges, just holding on to all those things that don't really affect anyone but you and your attitude, and that'll change everything, right? So you start hanging around the good foreman in the brain who's letting the good things in and then directing the bad thoughts out, taking those thoughts captive and then changing them into things to be thankful for, right? And so slightly tangential is just thinking about having overcome pornography addiction. The whole thing with that was to change the look of where the fixation was, right? So you have something that's biological, something that is an innate part of the human experience, but the disorder of it, excuse me, the disordered part is the thing that, if ordered, is in the correct orientation for how it was designed, which is a good thing, right? Procreation, bonding with your wife, or if you're a woman, with your husband, right? And then the context of it being within in marriage, right? That situation for me was what was disordered, right? It was trained behavior since I hit puberty, right? And then not having the backbone to resist it or to find a way to make it healthy, right? So that was really something that was a bit of epiphany later in life of saying, oh, there's no need to justify the behavior or pretend like it's not a struggle or it's not a burden or I have the shame, whatever, whatever. It's more, how can I be the closest version of that original design that God had designed for me to be walking in? Oh, well, that would be thanking him for that desire, thanking him for the impulse. Thank you for the realization that there is a time and a place for this, but the time and the place is not right here, not right now. The thankfulness for this woman being designed in the image and likeness of God, and then thanking him for designing me also in the image and likeness of God, and then so on and so forth, and becomes this dialogue where it's feeding the healthy foreman in the mind, right? And it's shutting down the negative foreman, right? I gotta look up that video with Les Brown again. But hopefully everyone who hears this has heard of Les Brown. He is a great public speaker, motivational speaker. I'm pretty sure he might be still one of the top paid motivational speakers on the planet. I think he's always going to be top five, depending on what circles you're talking to about who those people are. But I know at one point he was definitely the most sought out and highest paid speaker. I digress. The whole thing is adjusting what the thought is, or honing in on what the pattern is, and then changing that habit. So it's like a slight pivot, right? Move a couple degrees away from that train of thought that you had, that way of conducting yourself, for something that is better, right? This is just leveling up, just going up a little bit higher, and you'll know that you're getting upgraded when the same trigger or the same stimulus or the same situation comes up. It might just have a different face, right? It might just be camouflaged as something innocuous, but instead you respond having thought about it, having engaged battle with yourself so many times before that it's not a struggle, right? It's not something that is causing tension. Instead, in my case, at least, it opens up a prayerful dialogue with Jesus. Right? That's the one that I go to for all these situations. And it's not to toot my horn or nothing. It's more to give a key to success where it can spin out and then you find yourself derailed, right? When everything is in proper order, oh, it's like getting someone almost hitting you with a shopping cart in the grocery store. It's like, oh no. Luckily, my head was on a swivel. I saw that coming. I know there's a ton of shopping carts around here. I'm going to do my best to give people space. And if they're not paying attention, because, you know, just looking at the awesome sale on tomato soup, I don't know, it's a dumb analogy. But the whole thing would still to bring home the point of just letting it go, or shifting and elevating what the thought was to something that is beneficial and helps to overcome. So then you do have the backbone, and you find that you have developed a capacity for resistance, or a capacity for thanksgiving, or more of a capacity to be dealing with the matters of the moment without being derailed. Right. So we're coming up with just, I say it in the third person, like I'm talking to the hearer. Well, I hope whoever hears this knows that I am talking to you personally and directly, right? All right. So the next thing is the goal for the day, right? A slight, not quite as serious and demanding as a New Year's resolution, but a resolution for 24 hours. And this is great for many reasons. One of them being for self-development, for personal development, but then also to be helpful for other people's attitudes or whatever they're bringing to the table, right? Whether good or bad. One of them that I always like to try, especially on a Monday, where it's, you know, a fresh week of being off the weekend, right, is not to complain at all, right? And not, that's even like, to go deeper, like to have a critical spirit, right? A critical attitude. And when it comes to that, I didn't realize how much of I didn't realize how quickly I could become critical and then just stay in that mindset of finding something wrong with everything. And it probably is something that helps for injury prevention or minimizing loss, however it comes up. But to when you leave a conversation with someone and you just think back on what was said, and when you process the conversation, I would never want people to be like, oh, last time I had a run in with Dave Woods, he was just full of, he was nitpicking the entire time and pointing out the most minute details that didn't need to be pointed out. And, you know, it was a little bit exhausting. I don't want to be known as an energy vampire. And I think we all know people who are like that. So, Lord have mercy on their souls. The whole thing is just in terms of outlook and then impact. Something as simple as saying, today, for these 24 hours, I'm not going to make any critical comments. If I find myself making a critical comment, I'll remember what my goal for the day was. And then point out three things I do like about the thing I had out of the gate had said some negative stuff about. And one of my favorite aspects of Facebook is when it's like, oh, hey, it's someone's birthday. And you can see it immediately when you open up your social media. And to combat being negative, it'd be to give a genuine compliment. And when it's like that, it takes some time to think about something that is impactful and is to the heart and not just a generic thing that you might find in a postcard. Not that postcards are bad. I'm a huge fan of postcards, but to go deeper. How can you go deeper? Like, the message in a postcard is a broad stroke for talking about an emotion. Thanksgiving and gratitude for someone's life, for them being born. Well, how can you make it deeper? When I see someone on Facebook that I'm friends with, I try and think back to a memory that we had together, a positive one, of course, or a way that they handled the situation that was upsetting, that would make anyone hypercritical, to make anyone annoyed, right? Irritated, to say the least, right? But instead point out how they handled the situation or what I learned from them. And doing that, of giving a genuine compliment, especially to someone that you haven't talked to in a while, is something that makes that statement stand out above everyone else who's like, oh, happy birthday, that's it, or HBD, right? It goes deeper into everyone's favorite time of the year, right? The day you're celebrated, and everyone gives you free stuff and shows a lot of love, right? But besides the superficial of being acknowledged for it and then receiving something for it, we can use that in a way that is really impactful. Like, what separates it from last year or the year before that or the year before that, right? And the older that I get, I'm like, all right, well, there's less reasons for me to be incredibly excited about my birthday, right? I think as a 37-year-old, the big birthday for me is going to be 40. And then from there, it's going to be on the decade, right? I'm not going to turn down, fun times with close friends and family. But in terms of what it means to be 1 year older is the thing that's more sobering than anything, right? When I was a teenager, it was all about what could I get? What was that expensive thing that I couldn't get? Or what was the thing that I wanted to do that I would never be allowed to do, right? And then in my 20s, it was, oh, hey, we're gonna get wild. We're gonna get really wild on my birthday, and you don't want to miss this event, right? And this is gonna be great. And then treated every single birthday for everyone that I knew like that. But now, I definitely would say, because of the impact of Catalina being in my life and being my daughter and having such a role, a specific, unique role for her as her father, it's to start thinking about not just my future and future plans, but then her future and whatever her future plans are and how I can support that. And in that regards, it's a new season of life, right? Being middle-aged. I still trip out when I say being middle-aged. But being in that, knowing that high school is over, knowing that undergrad is over, knowing that the higher learning time is over, and it's the real world is now more of a paradigm shift of saying, all right, everything, there's a ton of things that are bigger than me, and what are those things that I have to dedicate myself to in a very vigilant way, or life is gonna have a ton of twists and turns that I'm not ready for. I can't be ready for everything. So let me choose my battles. What's my ministry? Where am I called to be a steward and just stick to that and not really get too entangled in other people's stuff, right? Everyone has urgent things to be taken care of. Not all those things are important, right? Or say, they're important to them, they're not important to me. They're urgent to them, they're not urgent to me, right? All right, if that's the case, what's the level of preparedness that I can handle? And that was almost like a snap judgment to lose 100 pounds and then commit to it in I let my world be absorbed by it, but in the best way possible, right? That moment of saying, I need to be lighter because I don't want to be a fat dad, wasn't just, oh, a superficial thing. It was more, I need to be in shape for my daughter. I need to be in shape when she gets older. I need to be ready to run around and play around with her as she gets taller and stronger. And then definitely when these little boys start coming around, and then the teenagers start coming around, and then these young men start coming around. It's like, all right, well, all right. That's just one aspect. So it was nothing to change my diet and start exercising more. But then, okay, what can I maintain for life? And that's more of where I'm at right now. Now that the 100 pounds are gone, and now where I'm sitting, I'm just slightly out of shape for being 235 pounds, right? Oh, all right. So that's the new goal. That's the physical aspect. I know when I look at my paper, when I look at the post-it note, when I look at what I've written down as a goal, what I had at January 1st, 2024 was to be 185 pounds. Well, as my attitude and life would have it, I started to veer away from that. And it was by the grace of God to do the physical experiment with creatine and started gaining a ton of muscle real fast, but then also started gaining fat also. I'm like, whoa, how did this shift happen from a cutting weight to all of a sudden gaining weight and gaining good weight and bad weight at the same time? Oh, wow. It's a really powerful supplement. All right. This is what I need to do to reassess all of that, to get the fat down, to get my mind right, to reassess what the goal is. That means the strategy has to change too. Because that's the case, it became overwhelming to think about what it would take to be 185 pounds, having gained weight, right? All right, well, let's change up the strategy. Let's change up the goal. Let me say, the goal wasn't changed. It was just postponed to work on a smaller goal. And that smaller goal is to cut down to 235 pounds. Oh, all of a sudden it's less of a mental burden and I'm not exhausted. Just thinking about how hard it is to lose weight and then to maintain that new weight. All right. Well, who gets me fired up? The Rock, especially the Olympics, all these Olympians who are doing incredible things physically and setting records, that's inspiring. These movies, you name them, Rocky, Rudy, Pride, like you just name all these movies. Man, cheat throat right there. Just go through those sports movies, right? Creed, this is just a ton. Everyone gets the point. I don't need to really drive home that point. The whole thing is where those people were and what they did to get the trophy or get the title or to exact revenge on the bully by getting in shape, right? It's a big shout out to Elijah Wood and Green Street Hooligans. But the whole thing is to have the outlook of not just cruising through life and going where life takes you, but more of there are a couple things that I can control. What can I control? I can control what I eat and control how much I exercise. And I can also control my attitude. If you were to spin a dial and I was going to land on an emotion at any given moment, anger, irritation, joy, hope, fury, just name it, right? Just go through that whole gamut of emotions, right? If I were to land on any of those negatively charged emotions or disordered emotions, but I have the mindset I can change my attitude, oh, well, that looks like it doesn't matter how I feel in any given situation. It's coming back to a place of response, but not reaction. I think I'd rather have that in my character than saying, oh, this person is a hothead. This person is quick-tempered. Oh, this person is a loose cannon. Oh, that person is a wild card. Oh, look at this. He's distracted. Oh, he's head in the clouds. Building castles in the sky. Oh, doesn't seem to be present, right? Let's think about some other stuff. Is depressed, is melancholic, is no, like name all those things, right? I'd rather have the trait of equanimity and equipoise, which are great, great things to develop, and much easier once you realize that you lack it. It's how quickly can you get anchored again, right? And operate from a place of sober-minded judgment, right? Someone cut you off of traffic. How quick can you come back to being able to tell a joke and a laugh? Someone provokes you and continues to provoke you, like on purpose. It's recognizing that they're trying to provoke you. Well, you can rise above it, or you could do some verbal jousting. Which one do you want to do? If I'm anchored, I can be, I can bust chops with the person back and forth, no problem. Yeah, I have no problem busting chops and messing around and keeping it light. But the issue that I have is when I start to take it personally, right? Like, oh man, how come I let that comment hit? How come I let that one, why did I give the indication that I was starting to get provoked, right? That part, I think, is a much harder to assess and address in the situation. But if I've primed myself at the beginning of the day that I've been thankful for the things that I do have, when I've done the unpleasant thing on purpose, which is taking a cold shower and then embrace the cold shower, and then all of a sudden it's not a cold shower anymore, it's a normal shower because my body's adjusted. When I've set whatever those jams are, that music track list, or praise and worship, or whatever it is, to actually sing and be a part of the music, right? I've been, and then also what the goal is for the day, and am currently working on the long-term goal also. Comments, little comments don't bother. And even big comments don't bother me either. It's been the whole feeding and paying attention to the good foreman in the brain, not the bad foreman, those comments don't hit. I don't know if I'll ever be able to grasp this one, but on social media, you name whatever the platform is, when there's those negative comments that are just piling up, I notice I get impacted very quickly by that, even if it doesn't directly impact me in my day and the things that I'm working on currently. And so I call that a pitfall, right? So I try and keep it very light on social media in terms of responding to those things, or just skipping what it is and not feeding it, right? And so the protocol that I have for social media is to know what I'm doing when I open up that app, and then get off of that app when I'm done the thing. And if it's a casual scrolling on whatever the platform it is, it's to be aware of what I'm taking in and definitely not doom scrolling. And I've been there, and that's actually the reason why I shut down my accounts. Every time I shut down my accounts is because of that doom scrolling. And I think one of the most negative things that you could do to deflate your momentum and to get sidetracked is to absorb so much information so quickly, and then use that as a form of entertainment without actually interacting with the people or the groups or the communities that you're absorbing, right? And this is not an attack on anyone or whatever your attitude is for social media, but it's more of, for me, I notice my energy will get zapped, and all of a sudden, if I was halfway done all the objectives for the day and the obligations for the day, I won't have energy to do the things that I do want to take care of, or the hobbies that I do want to grow in, or the books that I do want to read, or the movies that I do want to watch, or the albums I want to check out or re-listen to, right? Instead, I'll be zapped and just want to be a couch potato. I just want to lay down and most likely have some junk, some whatever type of junk food it is. I'm trying to get better at replacing some of those things with productive things, productive snacks, like Greek yogurt with chocolate chips in it, right? A little some fruit, some blueberries in it, right? That's a phenomenal healthy snack that packs protein and it's full of probiotics too, and also it stimulates the need, or I'd say it satisfies the want for something sweet, right? Without sabotaging the diet. So going back to those comments in real life, real time with real people, if my mind has been primed, and this is from the moment almost upon waking, I don't get thrown off. There are things that do happen, but it's how soon did I come back to being anchored and then realizing, oh, someone might be saying it to be malicious, or because they have a loose mouth and no filter, right? That's not an indicator of my worth, or it doesn't impact my identity either as a child of God. All right. Well, those things, assessing it that way, helps me to just keep it moving and then stick to the script, stick to the plan, stick to the strategy, carry it out, and then be able to just bring it before God and ask him what his opinion is on it. Ask him a story or an example of a similar situation that applies to my life, right? All right, so these little check-ins throughout the day do wonders in terms of keeping energy high. And then if that it should be fuel enough, that'll get you to what your goal and your ambition is for living whatever that life is that you're going for. So to not have the dream defined is a foolish move. To not know where you're going is equally bad. To not have an objective in whatever sector of life is, I feel like if there's ever a theme that I'm going to talk about in every single episode, and I feel like it's either episode 25 or 26, it'd be define that goal, define it, write it out, repeat it, just do it over and over and over again. I say 2 times minimum when you wake up before you go to bed. But then the more that you get close to that goal, review it more, verbalize it, talk about it with people, have someone that you can check in with frequently, or if you're extroverted and people already know what you're doing and they ask you about it, go into detail with it and, you know, walk through what it means, right? And even if that seems to be not needed for their edification, you speaking about it and going into great detail about it is edification for you to stick to your guns and to carry it out till you get there. What I found is if you are there's really three things to address each day, especially if it's losing weight. It's to focus on diet, focus on your sleep and recovery, and to focus on the workout. For me, I've just been so ingrained with lifting weights from playing sports my whole life, or just being wanting to be a superhero, right? That's the easy part. If I show up on a bad day, I still have a great workout, right? And I know that's not the case for everyone. And so the hardest part to address for me is the diet part. And the second I go through habits that I've developed over a lifetime, I realize why it's so hard. It's because it's the least fun. It's the least, I wouldn't say interesting, it's the least one that I want to change and that I'm willing to change, right? And what I'm being very transparent about it, the next one would probably be sleep, right? I think my cruising attitude is, sleep whenever you want and not on a regular, consistent basis. And the healthier that I get, or the going back to the sliding continuum, right? If you're looking at it on an S curve, right? What notch will you be if you're on an S curve? That's the continuum. Well, to be healthy would be saying, here's bedtime, and then this is actual sleep when you're in bed. Oh, do I actually need a nap, or am I just emotionally drained? Do I need a nap, or am I physically drained? There's a difference between the two, and it's good to just address it when it comes up. But if it's excessive napping and you are rested, might need to look into that. So in my case, to adjust the bedtime is huge, and for being ready for my alarm clock to go off in the morning. When that is set and I'm on that routine, it becomes easier to do. And then taking a nap is a luxury, and when I do it, it's incredibly deep, right? Where I've been out of whack multiple times in life is having deeper naps than deeper sleep when it's bedtime. And that is a dangerous game that I don't recommend anyone play, right? The quality of rest is huge. So what can I do to make sure that quality is consistent? Reading a book before going to bed puts me out. When that happens, I am golden, right? Having decompressed from the day is very helpful. That's why I say big ups to everyone who does an examine before they go to bed. And it's just in a spiritual sense, it's bringing to God all the times that you've responded to His grace, and going through that, think about that as a blessing. Oh, you could have lost your temper, but you didn't. You could have lusted after that woman, but you didn't. You turned it into a conversation of thanksgiving and gratitude to God. You could have overate, but you didn't. You could have been drunk and drinking excessively, but you didn't. Instead, you just decided to have one beer or one drink. In my case, right now, I'm abstaining completely. So yeah, if you ever catch me in between, what month? It's August, July, and October. Be like, hey, did you have anything to drink? Unless it was communion, no. All right. So the whole thing is looking at the areas and being aware of the areas that would have set you off in any direction besides a vertical direction, going up, going to ascend higher, and what brought you down low. It would be not focusing on the low ones, but instead focusing on the things where you do have the improvement, and it's not necessarily quantitative, right? Like, which would be a depiction of progress. Instead, it's going through those positive ones through the day, and then thinking about it, walking through it, and being thankful for that, right? That is a phenomenal thing to do, especially at bedtime. The next thing that I'd say, if you want to go from average or good to even better, it'd be being able to recognize those things throughout the day, not just at the end of the day, but throughout the day, and then holding on to those and walking through it, like what you would have done if you weren't self-aware or friends with God, or if you weren't sensitive to those areas of weakness, personal weakness. All right, you can see. Let me put it in the first person perspective. I can see how much I've improved over the years just by doing that exercise more frequently, and for what those vices were, keeping them limited. And definitely not, I'd say, not only just having them be limited, but then being aware of the areas and times of life where I might get set off, right? So this is preventative in its totality, right? That's how you know something has been nipped in the bud, is when it's been rooted out, but then it's been fed, it's been nurtured, it's been pruned, it's been developed, and then it's not rotted. The thing that's inside is good, and it's producing good fruit. These are some easy but dense in its application keys that anyone can use and apply. And I think whatever it is, I shouldn't say I think, I believe that if you apply any of these things, whether it be being aware of when you need an attitude adjustment, and it's a self self-moderated, a personal thing where you adjust it, no one does it for you, right? That helps you elevate your game. If you bring and incorporate laughter into these situations, it boosts your mood, right? So that's just how you amplify it. If you have hope, like that's something that a lot of us don't really think about or conceptualize, because I think the studies show that if you try to think about all the emotions, the only one people don't have a picture for is hope. Like, it becomes so abstract that you can't even conceptualize what hope would look like on a piece of paper. Well, the whole thing with that is the belief that you can. It's the belief that things will change. And it's not like, oh, I know they'll change, but then they'll be back to something bad. No, that's actually an indicator of trauma and a need for healing. But instead saying, I know that I can get through this. I know that I can overcome this. I know that I can achieve this. I know that I can do this. I know that I can carry this out. And if that is lacking, you might not ever get to your goal, right? But the second you realize you can, or you're inspired from someone who was in a similar situation or even worse and they got through, that connects with the heart and hope has been sparked. So you really do have to keep hope alive, right? Setting a goal, a minor goal, a big goal also, one that can be carried out for 24 hours and you can reassess, and then one that takes longer than a week, a month, maybe a quarter, right? Abstain from complaining, and not just abstain from complaining, but find something positive, find a compliment, find something that is genuine in the situation, and then start replacing it with the complaining, right? And then go through those three areas frequently. It's diet, sleep, recovery, and workout. Those are the three domains that are most challenging for me. And to break them down to the smallest component and then build them up in a way that is fit for my strategy, which is to get to 235 pounds, is I think that's the bread and butter for actually being able to carry it out. I know working out is not the hard part. For me, it's the diet and the sleeping and recovery part. All right, how do I adjust that? What am I willing to do that my old self would not do, and then do it? What am I able to handle in this season of life and do it? How far can I push it in this time of training to get down to 235 pounds? And then what can I do for life? Like, when all those things line up, oh, this actually becomes enjoyable, fun, and a real process of transformation that is maintainable in my 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, all the way till I'm 103. By the grace of God, 103. So hopefully everyone who's listening to this reviews this episode and takes it down piece by piece for their situation. But then not just do the hard soul searching part, but also do the theocentric part. That's bringing God into it and asking God for his strategy. Because when you partner with that, that's actually what makes life joyful, right? Instead of being pessimistic, you can see the good in suffering. You don't have to seek out suffering, but everyone has their own load that they carry. But this harkens back to the purpose of taking a cold shower, right? Why would you intentionally take a cold shower? There's a ton of benefits, and one of them is the mental toughness that is developed while taking a cold shower. You don't focus on how cold it is, how rough it is, and start complaining. Instead, you think, oh, this skill of taking a cold shower that I have initiated by my own choosing has a lesson that it's priming my mind to do difficult things later, and then be able to do them well, even when I don't want to, right? So I'm gonna leave y'all with that. And this is your boy, Dave Woods, You Versus You Podcast. These are some keys that I've learned along the way that I use in real life to get to my goal. And I can give you these keys. Here they are, episode 25-26. You gotta open the door yourself and walk through it. I can't walk through it for you. Before we wrap up, big shout out to my man Will at Goldmine Studios. Go check it out. Get your booking in. Get your recording in. Check out the website. Check him out on the gram. Email him. Hey Will, what is? Is there an email address that you prefer? Because I don't want to just say if you have the personal one. I want to say personal one.
Yeah, no. Gminds.
Gminds. Okay, cool. Hit him up on gmindsstudio@gmail.com and you can do further inquiries there. And you never know who'll be in the studio. So go from there, ask for a tour, ask for his rates, rate him on Yelp, rate him on Google reviews, just give him big ups, likes across the board, and shameless plug, do it for me too. Like, subscribe, comment, all that good stuff. All right. Peace and blessings. I'll see you when you get there.